episode 41 of This Developing Story. So this week I have completed the conference talk I've been working on for the longest time. I think it was accepted back in November, I found out, and kind of been working on React Native the whole time, off and on, and then got that talk together in the last 2 months. And yeah, overall, it went really well, better than I expected. When I gave the talk here at Block, there was a lot of spots that needed help and work and holes in the presentation that I was able to work on the next week. So all that stuff I cleaned up. So hopefully the end result, when I actually watch it, once it's posted live, I'll share a link when that happens. But hopefully that will be to my liking. If not, at least I did it, I guess. My goal for this year is actually going to be to hopefully do that one more conference talk, probably not on generic React Native stuff, probably more in-depth. Either React Native or more JavaScript things that I've been learning over the year. And yeah, so that's my goal. Like I said in the last podcast, I'll talk about my goals on a future podcast and kind of go through the list. But other than that, this podcast is going to be an interview with an ex-coworker of mine at Azia, Robert DeLuca. He is a pretty awesome person. He maintains and contributes to quite a few open source projects, mainly Dropkick and Ember XSelect are two things I know for sure that he contributes to. He's also an Ember evangelist. He's very knowledgeable in Ember. He works at a consultancy called The Frontside in Austin and does Ember there. But overall, a pretty awesome guy to work with, a pretty awesome guy to talk to. And hopefully you guys enjoy our conversation. It's a lot of, reminiscing of our times and some pretty good insight from Isaiah. So without further ado, here you go. So what have you been up to for the past year since we saw each other last?
Oh, man. Lots. So as you know, I moved to Austin, and that was a big move from Orlando, and I finally got the job that I wanted, to work in Ember and do like JavaScript heavy front end stuff, and it's been great. I'm here working at The Frontside, which is an Ember consultancy, and I don't know, it's crazy. I'm surrounded by a lot of really smart people, and it's also cool to be surrounded by a lot of smart people, and also bring something to the table. Like I don't feel imposter syndrome here. I feel like I provide value every single day, and that's actually the coolest thing about the transition between like me a year ago and me now, is like I feel like I'm providing a lot and I'm doing a lot, and it just feels like I'm in this cool rhythm. I don't know. It's really cool.
Cool. And I just realized that, I never had you introduce yourself. So could you just, tell the listeners who you are?
Oh, yeah. So I'm Robert DeLuca. I go by RobDell12 on internet, GitHub, Twitter, pretty much anything now. I'm RobDell12. There's no significance behind that name.
Cool. Yeah. And some background for the listeners, me and Rob worked at the same company at Isaiah. I guess a year ago, we both left around the same time.
It's crazy. Like it's been a great journey. I know this is an interview podcast, but I kind of want to hear about you a little bit too.
So yeah, I'm in San Francisco here. I live in Oakland, so just across the bay. And yeah, just to catch you up to speed, I've been working on mainly JavaScript stuff here at work. Doing a lot of Angular. We just started our first React app this week, and I've been doing a lot of iOS over the past year, just learning that on the side, doing a conference talk in 2 days. So yeah, looking forward to that. But it's by far, I mean, nothing against Florida, but for sure this is like, I mean, I'm in California and San Francisco. There's a pretty booming tech scene here. So
yep,
as far as growth, with me only being in this industry for only like less than 2 years, I've definitely grew a lot faster than I thought I would have, for sure.
That's awesome.
You gave a talk November. How was that?
Yes, I gave, that was one of my goals for 2015, was to go out and give a public speaking, anything, presentation, go to a conference, talk. I've done a lot of meetups, but I wanted to go out to a conference, and November accepted me. I was actually 2 for 3 on conference proposals.
Oh, really?
I had another conference accept me. O'Reilly didn't want me, but that's all right.
Yeah. Well, did you talk at the other one?
I didn't. They actually landed on the same exact day. Okay. So I had to turn one down. But I mean, November was a great experience. It was an awesome conference. I had no clue what I was getting myself into until I saw the speaker lineup, and I had like Yehuda and Douglas Crockford and Kyle Simpson and like these big names in JavaScript. And I wasn't actually talking specifically about JavaScript. I was talking about accessibility. But it was a great experience. A lot of great conversation came out of it. It's extremely rewarding. And I'm excited for you to give your first talk because you're going to experience much of the same thing. And like it feels great to discuss things with people afterwards. And
yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
It's an awesome energy. I don't know how else to describe it. You feel like invigorated. You feel real plugged in and you want to like go back and work on it more and you know, change the world, to be a cliche.
Yeah. Well, change the developing world, I guess.
Yeah.
To be a little more specific. So you're at the front side in Austin?
Yes.
Tell me about like, what's that like? I mean, you could compare it to IZEA, but I know it's probably gonna be a lot different.
Massively different. And it's massively different because it's consulting work and not product work.
Yeah.
So we both worked at IZEA and we worked on a product. And you still work on a product, right? You work on Block?
Yeah. So I was on the main product at Block. I moved to a new team, which was like a growth team. So we're focused on more smaller projects faster. So not so much like a consultancy, but I am going to have like more of a frequency of projects that I'm working on.
Cool.
In the next few weeks.
Yeah. So here, at the front side, we're an Ember consultancy. So like, we're not usually building out any like, you know, easier tasks that a normal team would do. When we're hired to solve the hardest problems. So it's been really interesting. It's been a lot of pairing with, people that are smarter than me and have, more experience, but it's been a lot of fun, man. Like solving really hard problems. I thought I would get bored with being stuck on the same problem for 3 months, but I'm just chipping away right now. We're trying to upgrade an Ember app from 1.12 to 1.13, and it's been so difficult because Ember List View was deprecated, which is like a thing that like is efficient scrolling through an infinite list where it like tear down divs and only displays as many divs as it needs to. We've been kind of building that from the ground up in Ember. And it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I get to do a lot of open source stuff here. I get to, if I want to, I can take a Friday and I can go work on open source stuff. I can maintain all of the cool open source projects that the front side already had going. It's pretty cool. I built a little stat counter to just pull from the NPM API real quick to check the download count.
Oh, really?
And it's I've never worked on something that's had so much popularity, but like Exalec gets 20,000 downloads a week.
Wow.
And it's cool to just be plugged in. Charles and Brandon, my bosses, they know like everybody in the tech industry for Ember at least.
Yeah, they've been around a while. And so I listen to the Frontside podcast pretty regular. Well, as regular as they put them out.
Mm-hmm.
And
so we're trying to go weekly or bi-weekly, I think.
Bi-weekly, yeah. So like I have some sort of insight to like what it's like inside the front side. But you guys don't do stand-ups, is that correct?
No, we don't do anything like that. Which is actually a stark contrast from both of us at IZEA. We would have the daily scrum and we'd stand up and we would have the agile process. I don't know if it's the front side or if it's just being a consultancy. I guess maybe some consultancies do agile, but since we just fall into client projects, we don't touch Jira We don't do anything like that. We also have a couple cool, really, really cool clients that love us a lot, and we kind of get some free will there.
So how do you guys manage the project as far as like getting things done? Do you guys just have issues on the GitHub repo or something?
Yeah. So one of our clients uses GitHub. Another one uses GitLab. And we issue triage through there. And then a lot of the communication flows through Slack.
Okay.
We have our clients in the Slacks in their own group channel that they can come in and discuss with us. They can ping us. There have been times where something arises in production and they don't have an idea, and they'll call us in real quick, and we'll help and stuff like that. So a lot of it actually flows through Slack.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's actually, I never really gave that some thought until now. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then I guess for the most part, you guys are building like the big greenfield apps, or are you guys working on like established apps and this like solving those issues?
A little bit of both. When I started, we were finishing up an app that they took from Greenfield, pre-Ember CLI days, and then they converted to Ember CLI and all that. We're about to get some Greenfield apps, but some of it is maintaining some of their apps that they have and pushing them forward, like the one that I've been working on. Yeah.
Cool. So I'm also curious just about Austin in general. I've lived in Florida. I think you're from Florida too also.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're about the same, and I didn't
born and raised.
Yeah. I didn't move from Florida until the first time was like last year. Mm-hmm. So I've never experienced like any other city, like as far as living. I visit other places. Like, what's your opinion? How would you compare Austin to Florida? Like, what's good about Austin?
I'm so ruined. Honestly.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I'm sure you're even more ruined being like the startup capital where you get test everything. But like Amazon Prime Now, having Amazon Prime Now is game changing to me, honestly. Things like Favor. I don't know if that's in Orlando. I actually forget a lot of the Orlando stuff. Hills and
what is Hills?
And the actual like mounds on the ground.
I thought you were talking about
like
some
that
startup.
Doesn't exist in Florida. It's crazy. And as a car guy and like a motorsports guy, that's massive to me. Like, I can't go back to driving on flat straight roads, honestly.
Really? Well, yeah, you should come to San Francisco. It's pretty insane.
Yeah, I was looking at some pictures from my Apple TV.
Do you you still have your Mustang?
I do. Okay. I haven't modded it or anything because, you know, I've been focusing on programming and other adult stuff, you know?
Yeah. So then the tech scene for Austin is pretty...
It's massive. I honestly can't speak to it that much because when I was in Orlando, I was super plugged in. And I want to say I was super plugged in because I was almost compensating for what I didn't have at my work.
Yeah.
But also to give Orlando credit, it was much more accessible, for me to go downtown where the meetups were, getting downtown in Austin, probably isn't as hard as getting downtown in San Francisco, but it's still like, it's an ordeal. You have to go find parking. You have to, you know, it's a 15 minute drive. And then I live out in the boonies anyways, because it's cheaper out there. So like you get home at 11:30 and it's like, I just feel like I'm getting a lot of that fed to me through my daily job. So
yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah.
To speak to San Francisco, we have a train system. So it's pretty nice as far as getting in and out of the city for a meetup. Plus the fact that I work right here in the heart of like startups. So I'm able to like I went to the Ember meetup two weeks ago, at Twitch, and that's like literally right around the corner for me.
So, nice.
Yeah.
that's gotta be pretty sweet to be like, that's super plugged in.
Yeah. So it's super accessible, but it also, to your point, I don't feel like I need to go to all the meetups either. And I feel like it's, as far as the community as a whole, I think Ember is probably one of the only exceptions. Like, where people actually go every week and like are super plugged in, because that's just like how Ember is. And I see the same people every time we have a meetup. But other meetups, you see people pretty sporadically. You don't really see that same people just because the scene's so big. And like what I was mentioning before, like, I get a lot of what I need through work. So as far as like working on new cool things, mm-hmm. And be able to try out different technologies, I have that freedom at work to be able to do that. Yep. And, so I kind of keep up to date like during my work hours. So, similar to yourself, like I was super plugged in Orlando and I was super like involved in my side projects. But once I got out here, as far as side projects, it really like slowed down a lot. I focused more on like more on iOS just because that was new and different. But like this iOS app that I've been working on it's like maybe almost 6 months that I've been working on it, but just like slowly like hammering at it. And that's about it. Like I'm not really like
going in on it.
Yeah. I just want to learn something. That's all I'm doing. I'm not really trying to build a product.
Yeah. That's, yeah. I feel the same way. Like, I was working on my blog and all that stuff in Orlando. And, you know what? It also could have been, to be fair, like we were both trying to work our way up. We were trying to move up and move on. And that inspires a lot of work and creativity and like networking and stuff. And I feel like I've gotten to a point where I can slow down a little bit and I can, you know, go out and enjoy a night with a girlfriend and not have to code.
Yeah. It's actually a really good point too, because like, yeah, we had big aspirations and dreams to get like that, you know, legit developer job. We had that freedom that we have right now. Mm-hmm. And now we've reached that point where we've got that, like what we've been working for so long. And now, not that we're like just like scaling it back and just like, you know, shooting the breeze and goofing off and stuff like that, but
yeah, it's nothing like that. It's just that we have it through our job.
Yeah, we're able to relax and like, you know, actually do other things. Like I love, so the Bay Area is like home to so many different cool things to do. Mm-hmm. Not only do you have like San Francisco, but you've also got like the north with the hills and like the ocean, and you've also got like San Jose and the beaches, and I'm able to like enjoy that. Where when I lived in Orlando, I kind of was like, basically went to work and did very little things in the weekends. Plus the fact that like I grew up in Florida, so anything in Orlando I've already done before.
Mm-hmm.
so it wasn't like I was getting out to like go to Disney or anything like that. Or like I did that my whole life. So it's nice to like look back and like this, you know, take a break from like constantly coding and mm-hmm. constantly working on side projects. And
man, I gotta tell you, I felt broken when I finally got here after the first four months. I felt like I was broken because I couldn't keep up the same velocity that I had in Orlando when I was working. Like I wasn't contributing to open source as much anymore, and I didn't have the desire. And I felt lost for a little bit, and then I finally accepted. I was like, oh, this is how everybody else develops. Like nobody actually develops at the speed I was. Like I had ridiculous amount of time in, and I'm happy I'm finally scaled that back and can enjoy things.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think like so, like people who listen to this podcast are a lot more in the like the newer scale as far as getting to developing
and embrace it. Embrace
it. Yeah, I think it's important to know that you might need to like, you know, put in the time and also like, you know, put those extra hours after work and before work or whatever you decide to do. But there's also going to be like an end game to it. There's going to be a point where like things just start making sense to you, where you don't have to like put hours upon hours. Like I'll get into something and think it's going to take half a day, and I'll estimate it in my head. Like we don't do estimations here, mm-hmm. but I'll estimate in my head, okay, this will take half a day, or this will take all day. And then I'll get down and do it, and it takes 30 minutes. And then I have the rest of the day to work on something else. Mm-hmm. So and that just happens pretty frequently, like all the time. And like I came to this job not knowing any Angular. Angular is like a pretty like 1.x is super complicated. It's got a lot of extra bells and whistles that you don't really need to know, but then also you have to know because you never know when you're going to come across it.
Yeah.
And I came here knowing no Angular at all and was able to pick up like within the first Monday I was here, be able to contribute to the Angular code base without a problem. At the more up at bats that you get, it just makes it easier and it becomes like just more natural.
Yep. That's another thing. When I first came here, I didn't like, so in the lead up to getting this job, I spent, like I've been saying, lots of time with my head down coding. I didn't know Ember 8 months before taking this job.
Oh, yeah.
And then, through lots of work and programming, I finally got in, and like I still didn't feel like I knew everything, but they were here to help, and I contributed and shipped something to production in the first day, and it felt so good, and to know that they kind of had your back. So I guess for the piece of advice for any new people that are just entering the industry, surround yourself with people that will encourage you and help you grow. The biggest thing that I noticed here, and I'm still growing, absolutely, but the biggest thing I noticed here is, like, don't be afraid to ask questions or put yourself on the line. The senior programmers here will force me to drive when we pair. And at first I hated it, but now I love it because they get to think it and I get to type it and then I get to learn it that way.
Yeah.
So like what comes out of their brain goes through my fingers basically, which is pretty powerful when you're learning and getting through that stuff. So I guess just surround yourself with people that you admire and that you want to learn from. I think that's the most important when starting off your career. And that Isaiah did a great job of that too, of giving me access at least to a fairly large production code base that I could ship to and, you know, code and kind of do my thing. And they helped a lot with growth. And I got to give props to Isaiah on that front. And then props to Frontside for growing me there. It's just you have to find people that you really want to work with.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt like the same way, Isaiah. They really gave us the opportunity just to jump in. Like, even though it was like a giant monolith app, we were able to like jump in and be able to understand like how things work. And like, they gave us time to be able to like fart around through the code base before like actually jumping into the,
yep,
the code. I did have a question though. I thought of as far as, did I freeze?
I think so.
Okay. No worries. The audio is probably still good. That's just Hangouts. But so my question that I thought of earlier was how did you find Frontside as far as getting that job?
Oh, man, this is actually funny. They actually just recorded a podcast here at the Frontside called How We Hire.
Yeah.
And I was actually looking, I was looking to leave Isaiah in Orlando. And I was just like job hunting. I looked at other places like Boston, New York, definitely San Francisco, which through that endeavor, I actually learned that you can't call it San Fran.
No.
I got yelled at. So it's either SF or San Francisco.
And no Frisco, too.
Ah.
They don't like that here.
Yeah. So today I learned. So through that process, like I went to EmberConf and I felt like that was my best bet to find a job working with Ember, because that's what I wanted. And by chance, I was going through the booths, and in between talks, like I sat down in the auditorium room, I guess.
Yeah.
Where all the chairs were. And I happened to sit next to Brandon and Charles. And through all of the stuff that I was doing online, like all the open source stuff that I was trying to do with Ember and stuff, Brandon had followed me like 3 months prior. And he sat down, like I sat down next to him. He's like, "Hey, I know you from the internet," and shook hands and like threw a couple like small talk. And he's like, "Oh yeah, we're hiring in Austin. Maybe we should fly you out there and see what it's like." And I was like, "Yes," because the Frontside was actually the job that I had wanted. But they didn't have a careers page. They didn't have anything like saying that they were hiring. I was like, "Oh, I guess they're just not hiring."
That's funny. I listened to that on the podcast when they mentioned that.
So it was, yeah, it's purely through chance. if I didn't sit next to them, I probably wouldn't be sitting here.
Well, that's funny, because that's like the same kind of way I got a job at Isaiah. I'd ran into Trace and Ben at the Ruby meetup. Probably about 10 months, maybe 6 months prior to actually the second time I ran into him at Ancient City Ruby, which is the shirt you're wearing right now.
Yep.
So I went there, ran into him again, and they're like, "Oh, hey, we talked to you like 6 months ago." And at that time, that was like the week I decided I was going to do Ruby, like learn it. And then 6 months later, I ran into him again at the Ruby conference. And they're like, "Oh," and it's like, "What have you been doing?" I was like, "Oh, I built a couple apps and Rails and stuff like that, you know, kind of been learning." and like, oh, you should come in and interview. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. I guess I should. So I came in and I interviewed, and I had like no desire to move to Orlando or even take the job. But I was like, oh, mm-hmm. we'll see if they, I'll see if they actually give me the job before I even make that decision. So, because I didn't want to, like, it's weird because sometimes you're like, you'll qualify yourself out of a job or qualify yep. yourself out of something. Yep. And I didn't want to do that. So I was like, let me just interview, see if I get the job. I got the job. And that's similar to how I got the job out here too. It's like, I got an email from our CTO randomly. Mm-hmm. And,
I remember talking about this.
Yeah. I had no desire to like move out to San Francisco at that point, but I didn't want to qualify myself out of the job. So yep. I was like, okay, let me just go through the process and see if this works. And now I'm here sitting in the office in San Francisco and doing a podcast.
That's awesome. I actually, to go back to your interview at IZEA, I was in that interview. I interviewed you. And I got to say, still the most impressive interview I've been a part of to this day.
Really?
The fact that you were a salesperson and turned around in, what, 6-8 months?
Yeah.
And all did that while you had a child that was just born.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was like the fact that you found time to switch your career and learn programming was massively impressive to me. And I was like, this is the exact kind of person that I would like to work with. Like, you were obviously passionate about what you were doing.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Thanks for those kind words.
Oh man, no problem.
Yeah. You know, actually, I don't think I talked to anybody about that interview after the fact. I think you're the first person to give me insight.
But yeah. Cool. Yeah, we were all impressed. We could talk about, we came back and we're like, yeah, it's impressive that he was able to do that. Like, all of us looked around, we're like, none of us would have been able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was definitely pretty driven and determined. And that's going back to like our original conversation, like a few conversations ago. It's like I had an end game. Like, I knew it was gonna, like, it was either all or none. Like, I was gonna either fail at this really mm-hmm. fast, or I was going to be successful in a short amount of time. And that's, not everybody has that determination, which I realize, but like, if you really want to switch careers, or you really want to get into like developing, or even like just switching like the stack that you work on, like if you're just tired of working on Java or even Rails, mm-hmm. you know, you've got to put in the time to be able to like learn the new thing, to be able to get people to like believe in you, to give you a new job and the thing you want to work on.
Yep. Shout out Elixir Phoenix. Nah.
Really? Are you, so you're looking into Elixir right now?
Well, we have a client here that wants to start doing some Elixir stuff. And Brandon actually over Christmas break built a, Slack integration that connects with the Hue Phillips, lights that, is interfaced through an Elixir backend, and, we can turn off our lights on and off with Slack now.
Wow, it's really cool. Yeah, I know Docker is like, they're all like Elixir now. Not all Elixir, but they're, as far as backend, they're really into it.
Yeah, they hired Chris. Oh man, I feel bad for forgetting his last name. He's the author of the Phoenix framework for Elixir.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So Elixir looks really cool. It's supposed to be super fast.
Yeah, there's a lot of limitations, like, as far as like a Ruby and Rails background, mm-hmm. I'm seeing a lot of the limitations as far as like data. Like, I still like, as far as like getting an app up and running, like I'll still like pull up Ruby and like I'll pull up IRB and like test things out to see mm-hmm. if it's worthwhile. But as far as like speed to get things written, it's by far really good. But as far as like speed of like working with Postgres databases or even like NoSQL databases, stuff like that, mm-hmm. It takes a bit of a performance hit. So I've been looking at Go lately. So this new project that we're working on, I literally wrote in Ruby, and then we wrote it in Node, and now we're back to Ruby, and now I've half written in Go. So I don't think we're actually going to ship Go to production yet, but I'm just tinkering around with it just to see if it's worthwhile.
Take this for what it's worth, but as a JavaScript shop here at the front side, we don't touch Node.
No.
No.
Wow. That's good to know. Yeah. Node's, it's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy little, box of things.
Yeah. I'm not crapping on it, but, we avoid it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a lot of like tech debt that comes with using Node too. That's unavoidable, which is unfortunate because it like, what it's good at, it's really good at. But then as far as like maintaining a project for a long time, it kind of falls short in some places.
Yeah, if you want to, so speaking of Go, if you want to talk to somebody that has experience with a little bit of Go, Trace, who is also a former coworker.
That's right. I forgot he was getting into that.
Yeah, he started building something with it, and then he actually scrapped it. And he's going Elixir Phoenix.
Okay, cool. And he's still in Denver or Boulder, one of those two?
Yeah, if he's in Boulder. He also works at a consultancy now, too.
Does he? He left at another place?
Yeah, I don't remember the place that he worked at, but he works at QuickLeft now.
Oh, cool. Well, I might have to reach out to him. Thanks for the little insight.
Oh, no problem. I miss Trace. I miss a lot of my former coworkers from IZEA. It was a sweet bunch of people that we had there.
Yeah, it's like high school, but if high school only lasted like a year and a half. So as I wrap up, did you have any last thoughts? Actually, I did have a question for you. So how do you, I know you're kind of scaling back on your side projects or like learning outside of work. Mm-hmm. So how do you keep up to speed in as far as technologies?
I still scour Twitter. I still follow a bunch of people. And actually, I get it through a lot of the people that work here. Probably tired of hearing that, but like everybody here is just like so on top of it.
Yeah.
Like I just through Stanley or Brandon or Charles or Lydia or Alex, like they're all be posting things to the random channel on Slack and or the codes channel on Slack, and we'll discuss things. And there's been a lot of, so if you've read Charles wrote a blog post where he calls it functional templating, where he puts a lot of the logic into the handlebars template and creates a component creates a file uploader out of three different components that doesn't use any JavaScript. It's all handlebars.
Okay.
And there was a lot of back and forth between Stanley and Charles on that in the Slack. And it was just really cool to read through that. And so, I mean, we have people here that are pushing it. And that's kind of where I get it from. Like they push the boundaries and like I'm just kind of hanging out.
You're able to like absorb that.
Yeah.
While it's happening. Cool.
Yes, that's pretty much how that and Twitter, you know. But I've kind of been a little less plugged in.
Yes, same thing. Like Twitter, I'm pretty infrequent as far as like my posting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, again, this goes back to like I'm pretty happy where I'm at, so I don't really have to like always like have my finger on the pulse of like what's happening. Like,
yeah,
I'll get it like in the weekly, like the Ember weeklies or the JavaScript weeklies. I'll just get it then.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
and that's how I kind of keep up. So, same. Rob, if anybody wants to reach out to you or follow your endeavors, how can they find you?
I'm at RobDell12 on Twitter or GitHub. You can go to Robert-DeLuca.com if you want to. It's a blog that hasn't been touched in a year. So you know how everybody starts off like, I'm going to blog.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, it's like, I'm not going to blog. Actually, if you reach out to me on Twitter, I'm more than welcome. Like I'm more than down to pair with anybody, help anybody out. If you need any help on anything, I'm more than willing to help.
Yep. And you know a lot of Ember too. So
yes, very Ember heavy.
Cool. Well, Rob, thanks for, we hang around and chat after the fact, but thanks for coming on the podcast and, sharing your thoughts and your developing story.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, likewise. So that was our conversation with Robert DeLuca. Again, you guys find him on Twitter, find him on GitHub. If you guys in Austin area or at EmberConf this year, definitely reach out and say hello. Other than that, I've got some more interviews in store for the next few weeks, and hopefully you guys will enjoy those. You enjoyed this one, and hopefully you enjoyed the podcast. If you would like to, please leave a review or a comment on the actual podcast website or in iTunes. Let me know if you like this format. Let me know if you have an idea of somebody you'd like to see on here. Let me know if you'd like to be on here. Other than that, have a good week.